are back again. You're listening to On the Air with Glenn Coble, and today we have James Anderson, the naturalist for Marion County. And I'm struggling here with your pot. I don't know why it keeps scratching and making noises, James. But James is talking to us about turkeys, and very apropos. I learned how to spell that word, by the way, this week, so I've been using it more. It's a French word, I found out. Anyway, so we were talking about turkeys. We had a lovely caller call in and say that the reason why they decided not to use the turkey as the national bird is because it looked too much like a vulture, and I can understand that. It does look a little bit like a vulture with the head color and stuff like that, but you have the real story, right?
I hope so.
Yeah. All right, give it to us.
All right. Am I on?
You're on. Well, maybe you're on. I don't know. Go ahead. Keep talking. My stupid microphone pot is not.
Good morning. There we go. All right.
Now you're on.
All right. So this is just some extensive research that I have found. And, of course, there's a lot of stuff out there. But this was from, I think, a .org or .gov, so at least they say they're credited. No, who knows if it's true or not.
But they're accredited by Russia.
As some of you have probably been on the Thanksgiving table, you might have heard this story about how the turkey almost became our national bird and the bald eagle didn't. So Ben Franklin, as Frank Malone mentioned earlier, yes, he was the person who proposed the idea of having the turkey as the symbol.
I would assume because it was so natural and there are so many of them.
Well, right? That's kind of it. So he thought that since turkeys are only found in North America, he thought that was very unique versus eagles. Now, there are other eagle species, but you can find them all across the world. Yeah. So he decided against, we have this new country, and this bird's only really found in this area. This should be our example.
Ugly birds are supposed to be seen as well. Yeah.
Now, also, too, if like we talked about earlier with how to tell male and female, the male, has that really red, white, and blue color. So that represented the new colors of our new country.
Right.
Versus the eagle, it was white or bald like the British. So why would we want something that represents something we just defeated?
Yeah, well. Also, to rub their nose in it, maybe.
Yeah. So he also, too, he thought turkeys were more territorial, and he thought, since we just defended our territory against the British, then that's why the turkey was another good candidate. But it's actually kind of funny. I've read some Native American tribes, and I'm not sure which tribes there were, but they actually consider turkey as kind of the low spectrum. They really didn't consider them very sacred. As I guess you would say, Ben Franklin kind of looked at him that way.
Okay.
Right. Also, too,
they could have had the turkey vulture.
That's true. They could have. Also, and I had to pull this up because this is the exact quote that why Ben Franklin did not want the eagle. It said that the bald eagle is a bird of bad moral character. He does not give his living honestly because he steals from other birds.
Oh my!
And then this is another quote from Ben Franklin. And beside, he is ranked as a coward. The little kingbird, no bigger than a sparrow, it attacks him out of his district. So he thought that why would we want a new symbol to be, for
cowardly.
The United States? Yeah, cowardly.
Yeah.
So the story goes on that that when he proposed that to Congress, Congress looked at it, and then there was this big dispute, and it failed by one vote.
The turkey. It was close.
Yes. But based on records, no one can really find anything solid or sacred, but that was not true and not a story. Now, what they believe what happened was he proposed this to his daughter. He sent a letter, and some odd reason, she must have told somebody, and like a fishing story, the little story got bigger each time it got told. And his first proposal, what he really wanted, was the scene from Exodus when Moses was splitting the Red Sea to get the Jews out away from the Egyptians.
Right.
But that's what he wanted originally as the new symbol of the United States.
Oh, interesting.
But I think when I read in history, it was they actually had to change the sign two or three times to what we have currently today.
That would not separate church from state, though, had we done it that way.
That's true, yeah.
Okay.
So, but yes, that is the story. So, no, based on record, no, that's not true that the turkey almost became our national bird.
Okay. Well, you fired up one of our listeners.
Yes.
Anyway, now, you were telling me off the air another story that was quite interesting, and I can't remember what it was.
About the history.
Yeah.
Of turkey. So, we had a very dark history in Ohio with not just turkeys, but a lot of towards our natural resources or wildlife. As in pre-Sunlight times, this was a very majestic area full of forests, prairies, wetlands, all this beautiful wildlife. Well, then people came into Ohio. They over-harvested. They destroyed a lot of our natural environments. They destroyed or got rid of our native wildlife. We were so thick of forest that they say a squirrel could start in Cincinnati and then in Cleveland without touching the ground.
Going through the canopy.
Yes. But as we were coming through, again, destroying Ohio, they believe by 1909, deer and turkey were declared extirpated.
Now, they didn't know at the time what they were doing.
Yeah, because we have to remember the Ohio Division of Wildlife, they were not around.
Yeah.
Now, what's actually kind of funny, and I know, again, off topic a little bit, but in 1857, the state of Ohio, we were a state then.
Yeah.
The state of Ohio was trying to help protect the natural resources. They were trying to help protect deer. They tried to create a limit, but kind of, we were talking about earlier, you know, if there's no one really out there enforcing those laws, then there's really no point.
Yeah.
and then again, after 1909, deer and turkey were gone. So extirpated is local extinction. Extinct or extinction, you learn in school that.
Extirpated?
Extirpated.
Extirpated.
Yeah, it's okay. Local extinction. So it means that, yes, their species is gone in one area, but their species is still surviving in other parts of the world.
All right.
So, and you were asking earlier, then how did turkeys get back to Ohio?
Yeah, how did they?
So at the time, again, after 1909, the Fish and Wildlife was not around, but we were trying to reestablish turkeys back into the state. So we tried to do this first program. We tried creating these farms full of wild turkeys. Well, the problem we'll just pretend I'm the farmer and you're the turkey. So I'm going out and I have my trusty dog. He's nice to you and we keep feeding you and you're used to us and my dog. Well, then when you get big enough, I throw you outside and then you see a coyote and you
don't know.
Well, you think he's the friendly farm dog.
Sure.
And that's what happened.
And then your lunch.
Yes. So we were figuring out that if you're going to reintroduce wildlife, first off, try to grab them in other areas and where they're wild. So we actually had to grab them in West Virginia, released them in the 70s and around the Sileski State Forest area. And slowly their population started increasing. It wasn't until about the 80s when we were able to hunt turkey again.
Did the West Virginia turkeys wear little caps with the lights on it so they could go down in mines and stuff?
It's something like that. but in the 90s...
That's a long stretch on that one. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. In the 90s, early 2000s, there was about 500,000 turkeys in the state
really
of Ohio.
Really got low.
So, but no, they've actually have increased. Now, we do have a season for them and a limit for them. Certain counties you're allowed to harvest them, other counties you're not. Marion County, we're not very big in turkeys because it's just our habitat. We're, even though like Big Island Wildlife Area is a wildlife preserve, but the problem is it's too open.
Yeah,
it's,
don't they like trees?
Yeah, they love trees. They like acorns and hickories, any nutty trees. But for Big Island, it's mainly grassland and wetland areas. So great for pheasants and quail and waterfowl. Not much for turkeys.
I got a flash of a cartoon when you were talking about nutty trees, but we won't go there.
So,
I'm sorry.
So
you're such a nutty tree.
It's funny. You can find turkeys in downtown areas. I've had people who have sent pictures I think it was in March or April of this year, out by the mall. There was one in the parking lot.
There is kind of a woody area back behind there.
By Sawyer Ludwig Park, there's some turkeys there.
That's very woody.
One person said they saw one at Tallgrass Trail. I have not found it yet. But,
okay.
But wow. I mean, I'm not saying they're a liar, but I'm saying that, you know, their chances of them being there are slim, but they could be out there.
Yeah, it might have wandered by. Maybe heard your ad for some program you were doing.
He might have.
Now, what type of, since I got there, what type of programs do you do during the winter? Or are you going to be able to, now with this new COVID stuff, I don't know.
As of now, we're okay, but until we get an order from the health department or the governor, then yeah, we'll have to shut down programs again.
Now, you have a bird watching thing coming
up,
right?
Yes, this Saturday. It's at Tallgrass Trail, and we're meeting at the Epsyville Baptist Church on Epsyville Road, and it's only a quarter mile to the trail.
Do you still have room for others?
Yeah, nobody has registered.
Oh,
yet,
well, then you better get registered in a hurry. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Well, that was one of the problems, because if I recall correctly, yes, you're only allowed nine.
Yep.
Yeah, so does that include you?
Yeah, well, I'm 10. I'm the 10th person, okay, but yes, I'm only allowed 9 other people.
Okay, so if you want to get in on that, you better call. What is your phone number?
So our office phone number is 740-223-4161.
Okay, I'm going to give them a minute to go get the phone, their pencil, because they forgot. They didn't know they were going to have to write stuff down. And I'm going to give you our number here if you want to call in and talk to James. Our number here. You ready? And then we'll go back and we'll give James's number so that you can find out whether you can go to these programs. But our number here is 740-383-9944. If you want to call into this show, 740-383-9944. Now I'm going to ask James to give the number. Does that go into the Tallgrass Trail, or does it go to your phone?
It goes to the park office.
Okay,
at the county building.
Is there always somebody there?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no.
Okay. So what is that number then?
It's 740-223-4161.
So if you don't get somebody that answers, a call back in an hour or two, maybe somebody will be out there, right?
We're hoping.
Yeah, we're hoping. That doesn't sound good, James.
And then if not, if you use social media, sometimes social media is a little bit easier to get a hold of us than the phone.
Yeah, you can go on that.
Yeah.
James has the presence on social media is very strong, isn't it?
Oh, yes. We've had a great turnout. I mean, people are, letting us borrow stuff, and we get a lot of good responses for the most part. With
people from India wanting to come here?
Yes, yeah, for our garter snake. I can't believe that.
How big was that garter snake? It looked pretty big.
Oh, it was probably about, I would say,
a couple feet?
About 13, 14 inches long.
Oh, so it wasn't as big as when I saw it. Of course,
no. I angled the camera a little bit, and I made him look a little bit enticing, I guess.
Yeah, did he smile?
Yeah, a little bit. But people were so they're like, wow, he's so calm. Well, during that kind of cool season, they don't really fight as much. So when they're in that cooler state, they're just kind of like sluggish. Like, just leave me alone.
Leave me alone. I'm trying to get back to bed.
Yeah. I should be in bed by now.
Yeah. Well, now, you probably won't have too many of those out now. I noticed that we were down into the 30s last night. So those little critters are going to be taking a nap.
Yeah. I saw one yesterday, but not like earlier last week. I mean, I've seen dozens.
Well, let's see what the temperature. The temperature's up to 45 now. So
okay.
Now, what temperature roughly is when you quit seeing snakes out on the?
I would say
50.
Probably under 50 degrees.
That's,
but really under 40, then you're really not going to see them.
Well, under 50, I put on a second coat. So yeah, I understand that. I don't want to be out there. Too cold anyway. We're going to be taking a break here in a couple of minutes, and we'll get back to more turkey stuff. And I guess we've already discussed everything about his whole desk is covered with feathers, and he looks like he's going to have a Native American dance coming up pretty soon.
It does look like it.
Now, I assume that the Native Americans not only honored the turkey, but probably ate some of them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely, yes.
Anything that had meat on it, they were good for, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we've got I've got a vamp here for about 30 seconds, so I'm going to ask you if you got something that you want me to ask you in the next segment.
I guess
put you on the spot.
Yeah, yeah. I guess some of our park updates that we have. So.
Your what updates?
Park.
Oh, park updates. Yeah, I'd like to know what's going on out there. You've got five or six parks.
We have five okay. parks sprawled around in the county.
All right. Well, we're going to find out about what's going on. You're listening to On the Air with Glenn Coble and our special guest today, James Anderson, our naturalist here in Marion County.
Charlie, do you know because of you, more Marion residents know that flipping the bird was invented in 320 BC than in any other county in America?
Yes, but I didn't tell you the rest of the story.
What's that?
At 320 BC, in 1 minute, the fat lip was invented.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
GTG, BRB, OMW, be there in a few. You may think that these kinds of texts are fine because of their length, and you can easily send them at a stoplight. But no, answering one text can take your attention away from the road for 5 seconds. And traveling at 55 miles an hour, that's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Make good decisions. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back here. I'm Glenn Coble. You're listening to On the Air, and I'm struggling with my POTS, as I've told you before. No, it's not the green stuff. It's what they call the volume control on
okay.
my board. Yeah.
Well, I learned something new.
Yours is working, so that's good. It wasn't the last time. Very well. All right, so we've been talking about turkeys, and then I think we've completely exhausted that discussion. Now, you were going to talk about the programs in the parks that you have. There are, what did you say, five or six?
We have five county parks.
County parks, okay.
Now, four out of the five are accessible. Our one is not currently.
Yeah, yeah, that's well, it is accessible if you're a hiker, isn't it? I mean, you can hike back to it.
Well, you can.
From a road?
Well, yeah. The problem with the Caledonia Nature Preserve, it's very landlocked.
Okay.
So unless you know the person. And
so you have to go through somebody's property.
Yes, and then the railroad is the other problem. But then the other problem, too, is the Olentangy River is right in between a lot of those people's houses and the preserve.
Now, is the railroad still active?
It's funny. When you're in Caledonia, the one side is, but the other side isn't.
Okay.
So we've tried to ask them, you know, if we'd be allowed to use the unactive side. Well,
yeah.
Of course, they don't want that because, you know, people are people. And
liability.
Yeah, all liability.
Yeah.
So probably the day when it's completely unactive, maybe we might have accessibility.
Okay.
Who knows? So.
Well, probably the most dangerous thing I ever did in my life, well, probably not, but it was pretty dangerous. We used to my football stadium where I played high school football was about 2 miles from where my high school was. So, and most of us walked to it. Now, you could walk, it was South Bend, Indiana, and you could walk to it via the streets, but you could knock off about 4 blocks if you went across a trestle.
Really?
Across the St. Joseph River, and mm-hmm. several of us used to do that, and that's probably pretty dangerous. I do not recommend doing that, young people, because I guess we'd have to dive into the river if a train came along. But it was about 30 feet in the air, so I'm
oh,
not
wow.
sure I would have wanted to.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead. What are we doing in the parks?
All right, so some of our park updates, some of you I might have seen on social media. We donated, or dedicated, I should say, a Purple Martin box.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. Yeah.
Yeah,
I saw that.
For former Judge Deborah Osball.
Yeah.
So the Marion County Family Courts, they all got together and created funds, and they created a box. Well, they actually had an Amish person create the box, but they installed the pole. And then we had the dedication last Saturday.
It's kind of a modern looking.
Yes. House, yeah. Now, when you're out there at the lake, especially by the parking lot, you'll just notice this pole. The house is not up now because purple martins don't stay here in the wintertime. They only they migrate down south for the winter season, and then they're up during the summer months. But if you're not familiar about purple martins, they're almost like swallows. But we have actually influenced them so much that they have highly dependent on humans.
Is that right?
To make their nests with the different houses. There are very, very few native, or not native, natural purple martin nests. So we have influenced them that much. Barn owls are the exact same way.
They must be very community related because you always have lots of little holes.
Yes. Usually you only have about one or two males, and then the rest are females.
Okay.
So we'll be putting that up late March, early April, and we're hoping to have in the near future some purple martins.
Would that be something that just a citizen like me would put up in their backyard?
You can, but you do need the right habitat.
Oh, okay.
You really need really big open area, especially if you're really near any water source.
Okay.
But if you're kind of more downtown, your chances are kind of decreased, but you're always welcome to try. I always tell people.
But you need water and now.
And really big open areas.
Yeah, see, I don't have open, so I can't do that. I have huge pine trees that line the back of my my property. So I guess I won't be doing the Martin House. Okay.
So we again like to thank everybody who contributed to them. Then we also like to thank our lovely volunteers, our one Randy Knotts. He's been.
He doesn't mind being called a lovely volunteer.
Oh, he is. He's a wonderful volunteer.
Okay.
He helps mow the grass at the trail, but also lately he's been help blowing a lot of the leaves and debris off the trail. So if you're out on the trail and you see a person on a John Deere tractor,
I bet you get a lot of leaves on that.
Oh my goodness, yes. And please be patient because you know he may do that, and a day or two later, I mean.
Oh, it doesn't take but a minute.
Yeah. So just kind of be patient. You know, again, we're only really based on volunteers. And
be careful because wet leaves are very slippery for us old folks.
Yes. And we also like to thank other volunteers for sealing in the cracks at the Tallgrass Trail. So we have to usually do that this time of year because then usually after it gets very cold, our window, it doesn't really work very well. And then the big thing, like we've been kind of talking about hunting, deer gun season is coming up here very soon in the state of Ohio. The youth gun season is November 21st and 22nd, and then the adult deer gun season is November 30th through December 6th, and then there's also December 19th and 20th. Now, the reason why I mention that, because no, people are not allowed to hunt on the Tallgrass Trail, but if you're out by the 2-mile marker, especially around the Big Island Wildlife Area, you know, Tallgrass Trail goes right through it.
Yeah.
So hunters are allowed to travel to point A to point B because since Big Island's on both sides, they're not allowed to hunt on it or through the trail. Now, if you do see that activity, please call the wildlife officer.
Okay.
I have to look up his number.
And hunters may not know where they can be and where they because it cuts right through it, doesn't it?
With that, and we've actually worked with the Ohio Division of Wildlife this summer. We've added signs where the boundaries are between the Big Island and the Park District property.
Gotcha.
And then also too, even the private land, you know, we've tried to work with a lot of people whose properties are adjacent to the trail that, you know, they can't hunt on or through the trail as well. So
how wide is the trail?
It's 12 foot wide. Sorry.
Oh, so it's very narrow.
Yeah.
It isn't as wide as I thought. I thought it might be a little. So it's really the double the size of the trail, basically.
Yeah.
Or triple maybe. All right. Cool. So that's what's going on there.
Yes, yeah. Those are our park updates.
Okay. Now, the one that you can't get into
is the Caledonia Nature Preserve, okay, yes. All right.
Well, I'm glad we have it. We're saving the property for critters.
Yeah, I'm hoping in the near future we'll have some type of accessibility.
Yeah, it would be nice to have some.
The other problem is that there's a bowstring bridge. Right there, if you're in Caledonia, there's the Aqua building where you can fill up your large water tanks.
Okay.
Right across from that is where the Bowstring Bridge is. And I guess it originated in LaRue, and then in the 70s, 80s, they transported it over into Caledonia.
That's a long haul.
Yeah. But because of that, they made the metal weak, and so... Oh. The wood itself is not bad, but if you look underneath the bridge, a lot of the metal is deteriorating. And so if you have a lot of weight, of course, it could collapse.
Yeah, so I can't walk across it.
So no, but our other parks, the one not far from there is the Terradice Nature Preserve. Then we have Greenspur by Prospect. Then we have Myers Woods out by Morrill. And then, of course, Tallgrass Trail.
The Terradice, you've had several things going on there recently, have you not?
Well, so...
Or at least
There's the Terradice Nature Center, which is separated from us.
Okay.
Now, I forgot to mention, I'm actually tonight at 6:30, I'm going to be doing a Mammals of the Olentangy. I'm a guest speaker for them. So I completely forgot about
that. Where is that going to be?
Well, it's going to be on Zoom. It's on
Zoom.
Yeah, on Zoom. So if you go on their Facebook page, go on the Terradice Nature Center, I think he should have a link, and you click it, and you should be and get into it. At least that's how I understand. I've never used Zoom before. So
I was going to say,
I'm going to be very new to this.
Yeah. Now, apparently, that's the way our government's going to be run here for a while. I noticed the president-elect, he had several people on Zoom, and they were. I guess they were doing the COVID thing. I'm not quite sure. But, Zoom has really taken over during this this terrible...
I know schools have really depended on it.
Yeah.
That's how they communicate.
Apparently, it's going to get worse. Next week, the governor is... If we don't get better, the governor is going to shut some things down, and probably rightfully so. My wife and I are old, so we don't go anywhere.
Yeah,
we didn't go anywhere before COVID. So I came here. That was it. That was my outage that I got to do. Okay, we've got about 4 minutes before we have to break again. And you have to cough. So I'm trying to think of we were talking about something that I wanted to bring up, but I've completely forgotten it. Don't get older.
I'll try not to.
You forget a lot of this stuff. do you have anything else you'd like to talk about? I'm sorry.
Oh, I think I remember what we were talking earlier, just about birding, just some of the...
You have a birding thing going on soon.
Yeah, on this coming Saturday. And I always like it in that area, since it's more wooded, get some of the different bird species. Back in, I want to say it was April or May, I got a barred owl. And it was literally just from me to you, just several feet. Yeah. And he just looked at me, and this was during the daytime. This wasn't
Did
during the
wink?
Yeah. And I got some footage. I got some pictures. And it was so fabulous.
There are some neat sites around. What's the one that a lot of people use? Birds and
There's Birds in Bloom Nature, and then the Ohio Backyard Stewards.
Both of those.
Yeah, those are kind of our local. Yeah,
and Facebook they are terrific. Pages. Yeah.
Oh yeah, and people are uploading stuff. So it's a unique time to be, because kind of like when Charlie and I were talking about, back then this was a kind of an old hobby for older folks, older women, and not many people knew about the things going on. But with these Facebook groups, he's always loved to see all the different stuff people are seeing, and not that far away, where we live.
There are a lot of older male subscribers to that, I noticed. And a couple of them I watch all the time because they are terrific photographers.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lady that you...
Amy Holloway?
Yes.
Yes, she's one of our local photographers.
Oh, my, can she photograph animals.
Oh, yes.
She must have a huge lens or something.
She does.
Yeah.
Very expensive and very big.
Yeah, because she gets some of the most fantastic photographs. She had it of, I think, an eagle this last week. Was it an eagle? I think so. And it was like you could pick the mites off the eagle's shoulder. That's how close she was.
Oh, yeah.
But obviously she wasn't that close.
No, but her lens make her look like
that. Yeah. So if you're interested in that, join us on those. What are the name of those two again?
Just Morning Birding Adventures.
And the other one, I can see the...
you're talking about the Facebook pages?
The Facebook pages,
Ohio Backyard Stewards and Birds in Bloom Nature.
Yeah. Go on those. I'm on those. A lot of people are on those. And
I always like seeing your stuff on your
walks. You're very kind. I take mainly pictures of of plants, because I just have a iPhone. I don't have a lens or anything, so I can't get real close to the
your mushroom lens. Those were probably
that was pretty cool.
The chicken of the woods.
Yeah, and they're still there, but they've been destroyed
squirrels.
Yeah.
I guess.
Oh, they're all. They're still there,
yeah.
But the tops of them are gone.
Yeah.
So the squirrels are happy.
Oh yeah,
I guess, yeah. And I see a lot of flowers when I'm walking.
Yeah,
I go out into what is called the woods. If you know Marion, that it's a little. It's off.
Oh yeah,
Kissington Road or whatever that is. I go in there, and they have beautiful flowers in there. You know what I like? I'm going to start taking pictures of little puppy dogs, because I meet all sorts of little puppy dogs when I'm going out there. And there's one that out in the woods. His name is the dog that's a cartoon dog. He's always going.
Oh, Scooby-Doo. Oh,
his
yeah. My son loves Scooby-Doo.
That's the best part about.
Sorry about that.
Well known.
Well, meeting all kinds of new people. You know, taking pictures and signing autographs.
That's great. What's the worst part?
That after signing a 500,000 autographs, I've got the worst case of carpal tunnel syndrome since John Hancock.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
We're on the air. That's the name of the show. And I'm Glenn Coble, and I'm struggling with this stupid volume control. But I'm on the air with James Anderson, who is the naturalist for Marion County. And we're talking about all sorts of critters. And we were talking about taking pictures. I love taking pictures of flowers. My wife thinks I'm a good photographer. I think I'm an average photographer. I did take it in college, and I really liked it when you actually had to develop your film. We don't have to do that now, but keep talking, because I think I've lost you. There you go.
Hello.
I got you back. I love taking pictures, and anybody can contribute to that.
Oh yeah,
and there have been some really ugly pictures on there.
Oh yeah,
and everybody likes them anyway.
Yep.
And I've put a couple ugly ones on myself. So join us, and we'll enjoy what you do. Now there have been some. What's the name of that lady that you were talking about that has the big lens?
Oh, Amy yeah. Holloway. Yep.
She's fantastic, and you don't have to be that good, and you don't even have to have that good of equipment to put your stuff on there. And what were the name of the mushrooms that I had to pick?
Chicken of the woods.
Chicken of the woods. You should have seen this. If you didn't see it,
you got a lot of people excited.
Yeah. Well, there was up at the crook of the tree, about 30 feet or 20 feet in the air, there was a bunch of them, and then they kind of dribbled down the side of the trunk, and then at the bottom it was full all the way around the tree. It was just fantastic. I didn't ever see anybody trying to get those mushrooms.
I'm surprised.
So, yeah, but obviously the squirrels did.
Yeah.
I have the greatest squirrels, and I think there are a couple of them that are starting to think of me as a friend.
Well, that's good.
They stay a little bit longer. Not very long, but they stay a little longer now. And I have one that's absolutely black.
Yeah.
Except for the tip of his tail. I think we mentioned this the last time. Tip of his tail is white, so he looks like a skunk that didn't quite get his long stripe. But it's absolutely white on the tip of his tail and absolutely black on the rest of him. And he's about 2/3 the size of a normal squirrel. So he's either a very young squirrel or he just didn't grow so big.
Okay.
But he now has started to hang when I walk by him. He doesn't run so fast to get away from me.
Oh, yeah. When they're in those kinds of environments, they really get used to people.
Yeah, I guess. And he lives about five houses from my house. And so I can see him just about every day when I go walking down there. Anyway, all right. I got to think of one last thing to talk about. You got anything more for us?
Well, it's kind of funny. You were talking about that that black squirrel. So black squirrels can form in different ways, a genetic mutation that can cause that very dark gene. And then, of course, with that, once it's in one squirrel, then that gene just carries over.
Yeah, we have another one that's fairly dark that lives real near him.
Yeah, some of them, they believe that the hybridization of fox squirrels and gray squirrels, and the fox squirrel carries that darker dominant gene, and then they believe that's why we also get that those black squirrels.
Now, the black squirrels, now maybe it's just because their hair is black. They seem to glisten a little bit more than the brown squirrels. I don't know. Maybe they use the right conditioner.
Right, mine.
but there are a lot of brown squirrels around this little black squirrel, so not all of them have started to change. But now, squirrels, do they carry rabies?
They can, and they can carry other parasites, too.
A lot of people, well, you remember the Christmas show where the with Chevy Chase and poor squirrels, that kind of my house would be just like that if a squirrel got free in the house, because I think we would all be afraid of being bitten. I wouldn't imagine there are too many squirrel bites in the nation every year.
No.
And if you are bitten, you should go immediately.
Oh yes,
because if they're biting, there's probably something wrong with them.
Yes, absolutely. You're more likely to get rabies from your domestic dog and cat than you are from wild animals.
What do you look for? Do you know what you look for?
Definitely behavior. Yeah. If
they're aggressive?
Aggressive, if they're not walking straight.
Oh.
If they're, like, limping, if they're going in circles.
Now, my little puppy dog does that, but she's got dementia. So.
Oh, okay. And, of course, like the tradition of the foaming at the mouth.
That is a real thing, then.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But it's actually interesting if small squirrels get attacked by cats. Cats have a kind of a toxin in their saliva, too, so it messes with their brains to kind of slow down so the cats can catch up and fight off their prey a lot easier. I had that happen to our house one time growing up, and we called...
Now, the cat gets this?
No.
The squirrel gets it.
Yeah, the squirrel gets it from the cat.
I got you.
Sorry, yes. But, I think I called the Ohio Division of Wildlife, and that's what they said, that cats carry a toxin in their saliva.
So, now, do we have a Ohio Division of Wildlife in this area?
Yeah, all 88 counties we have.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. All right. It's not any association with the Extension Office or anything?
No, the Extension Office is through OSU.
Okay. All right. Yeah, well, I've often wondered have you ever heard of anybody in this area getting rabies?
Not in Marion. Now, I've heard of people getting them, but they got it somewhere else.
Oh, okay.
There was this woman that got attacked. I did a bat program at the library, I think it was a couple years ago, and she said she got bit by a bat, and then she actually had to be quarantined somewhere where the CDC had to put her, and they kept her for so long, and she wasn't showing any symptoms.
Why would a bat bite her? Did she try to pick it up?
I think if I remember, it was in their house, and she tried to get it out. Something in that nature.
Okay. Now, when I was a little guy, I was bitten by a Cocker Spaniel.
And, oh, that's right. Yeah.
And the Cocker Spaniel ran away from home, and they couldn't find it, so I had to start the rabies shots, and there were 15 or 16 at the time.
Oh, wow.
I only got through about three or four of them. They give them to you right around your navel.
Really?
And, or at least back then they did.
Yeah.
That was back when they used to bleed people. So, but it was not comfortable, but then they found the dog, Duchess, and she was okay.
Okay,
and
that's
she
good.
Had just... had her foot stepped on by somebody, maybe me. And
that's easy to do.
Yeah, and or they weren't sure whether it was me or maybe the postman, because she tried to attack the postman as well. So anyway, that's what happens when you step on doggy's toes.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you don't worry too much about rabies. Are there any other diseases that animals might carry in this area?
Oh, yeah. There's distemper, which canines and raccoons carry a lot.
I always thought those were the same thing. They're not, huh?
No, they're different.
Okay.
But big thing are parasites, so ringworm, roundworm, all that. Children are very susceptible, especially like toddler little kids, because, you know, they're always putting things in their mouth.
Oh, yeah.
These parasites are laying
they're
eggs.
They're in the dirt, right?
Yeah, they're either in adult form or they're laying their eggs in the dirt, and then when the kid is putting that dirt in their mouth, and then that's a way.
Yeah, they pretty much have to go to a doctor for that, I would say.
Yeah. There's some over the counter, but then there's other prescriptions you would have to take to kill the parasites in your system.
Now, do people get heartworm? I know dogs do.
I haven't heard, but I think it is possible that people can get it.
Do other critters get heartworm?
Yes. Okay. Yes, they do.
So
I know raccoons can, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. When I was in college, we had to do a necropsy, which is an animal biopsy, and we did it on a coyote. And our coyote, its heart was just infested with heartworms.
Yeah, so it was a good – well, he probably died from that, right?
I would assume.
Yeah. Huh. Oh, my. So the critters have critters inside of them.
Yes. Now, some of them, they've learned to adapt. And like opossums are like that. They'll carry a lot of parasites, but they've just learned to live with them for a while. So, and sometimes they can overtake and kill them, and other times they go along their lives.
That's what nature does, right? Yep. It adapts to that
absolutely.
Sort of thing. And we do have we have a lot of critters in this area. As many as any other area in Ohio, because we do have a lot of farmland around us where I would imagine there are a lot of critters in the farmland, aren't there?
Well, that and Big Island. Big Island's probably the big contributor to a lot of our biodiversity.
Oh, okay.
I've actually done some presentations called Wildlife in Marion County.
Okay.
I think we have a little over 1,221 different species of wildlife.
Holy cow. In Marion?
In Marion. Now, that's not a true number because insect-wise, there's no extensive research. Now, there are in different categories of insects like moths and butterflies and dragonflies. But when it comes to a lot of the other insect species, there's no really extensive research. So I would say it's definitely probably close to 2,000 different species of wildlife if you include insects and spiders. And
We don't include spiders, do we?
Oh, yeah. Now, we're pretty good now, but if you go, like, in southern Ohio, their biodiversity is a lot higher because, they have more foresty areas.
Yeah, more wooded, yeah. I love, and I'm sure you do too, I love southeastern Ohio.
Oh, yes.
It's just gorgeous down there. Right now, it's getting a little ugly, though, because the trees are all letting their leaves go.
We've been blessed this fall.
We have had a good fall.
You know, the foliage has definitely stayed a lot longer than previous falls.
It was kind of interesting. One day, my neighbor's maple trees were absolutely filled, and the next day, my yard was absolutely filled with my neighbor's maple trees.
Yeah.
We live north east of her, and that's the way the wind blows. Well, we got about one more minute or two more minutes, and I think you've talked about your programs. Do you have any other programs you're contemplating?
Yeah, probably bird watching, wildlife tracking.
Can you do that through this the winter?
As of right now, yes. Unless otherwise, if the governor or the health department says don't do it.
So. Yeah. You're kind of at their mercy, aren't you?
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's rightfully so. We don't want to get anybody sick. We want you coming back here. Now we've decided that we're going to do James' show. That's now, that's James is a hard word to use, possessive plural. But James' show would have been on Christmas.
Yeah.
We're going to move him up again to the second week.
Yep.
So 1 month from today, or roughly a month from today, we're going to do James' show. So make sure you put that on your calendar because we want you back. And got any ideas what we'll talk about in the middle of winter?
Maybe just what's going on in the natural world in Marion County.
We may have had a big snow by then. We've had a little snow.
Yeah, some flurries, yeah.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of big snows because I lived just southeast of Lake Michigan, about 10 miles when I was younger. And one year we got 24 inches in 2 hours.
Did you really? Wow.
You know, the lake effect snow is just amazing. We won't go into that story because it'll make my wife mad, because I was in California when that happened, nice and warm, and she was stuck in the middle of the snowstorm.
Oh, no.
Well, again, this is James Anderson. He's with us from the Marion County. He's the Marion County naturalist, and he's talked about turkeys and all sorts of critters. And we'll be back in a month with him. And I'm Glenn Coble. We've got about 20 seconds, so I'm not going to ask you to call in and do anything. So I'm going to just vamp here, as they call it in the business. I'm going to vamp for about 20 seconds, and we hope that you will join us then. And don't forget, next week we will have Fred Malone on talking about Marion County Historical Society, and he's also going to talk about presidents, which is kind of apropos, there I use that word again, considering what's going on right now with the new president-elect. Have a good day. Now, don't forget to join us in about 15 minutes for a swap shop.
WWGH Radio 107.1 LP, Marion, Ohio, the talking place. Just listen to former star of